Welcome to the Inside Electronics Podcast, an Endeavor Business Media production. This podcast brings you the latest in technology, trends, and issues for the embedded electronics engineering community with your host, Alex Paul. Hi, I'm Alex Paul, Editor-at-Large for Electronic Design, and I'd like to welcome you all to another conversation that we're having in the topic of artificial intelligence and how it's impacting the engineering community, especially the embedded electronic engineering community. Today, I've got Joanna Pingle. She's product marketing manager of AI at MathWorks. And well, before we get into it, let's welcome you to the show, Joanna. I'm glad to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
AI is, I would say, the only other buzzword that's hotter than AI is IoT. And in this case, they're actually almost wed, isn't it? You know, they're both hot, they're both developing, and they're both impacting the marketplace, and they'll probably both be working together.
I agree with that. I would like to say, though, that AI is more than a buzzword now, too, right? Because it stayed for so long that a while ago, engineers were essentially rolling their eyes when I would go and talk to them about AI. But now you talk about AI, and they're like, tell me more. So I think that it's really interesting the transformation of AI from the science fiction concept over to a real conversation where you can actually get down into the technology and really have a good in-depth conversation.
Well, you know, then let's start with a broad definition because, I mean, most of the people listening will know what we're talking about, but there'll be a few who are just clicking in because they're like, let me finally listen to what the heck it is about AI. Tell us a little bit about machine learning, you know, the basis of it, and then what how AI, the way we interpret it today, and how MathWorks looks at it.
Sure. We start with artificial intelligence as this big, broad concept, but immediately you're going to want to go and talk about the technology behind that. So that's deep learning and machine learning. So machine learning is basically the understanding that it's what comes to humans naturally is to be able to learn from experience. So you've got machine learning where you have inputs and you have an expected output. With deep learning, all of that becomes even more advanced and more deep in terms of the concepts that you can do. Things like image processing, computer vision, where you can actually say, recognize this image for me, recognize this video for me. Those are just the basic examples of image processing, signal processing, et cetera. But now it's really expanded even more into text analytics, natural language processing, I'm sure you've heard about as well. And that technology just keeps on expanding. It's really unlikely that you're going to have an engineering example that doesn't contain AI these days.
Having said that, then, Joanna, let's go poke into it a little bit deeper because I think before we get to talk about the tools we're using today, I think I'd like to talk a little bit about how we perceive those tools, because there's a big argument in the marketplace about how AI can be a crutch to creativity. Ooh. Or it's a challenge and a threat to creators, because it can replace intelligent thought that the human's last value add, you know?
Right. I think this is an interesting debate because it's been happening for years now, right? We were talking this morning at breakfast about calculators and why you need to learn math if you have a calculator. But we all know as engineers, you still need to learn the basic concepts behind it. So as the technology increases, I personally believe that that just gives us more space to use the knowledge that we already have rather than focusing on the details of coding. And at MathWorks, that's exactly how we feel too. We really want to give tools to engineers and scientists to be able to do their best work.
Commendable. well, you know, when you think about it, it really does become the question of the tools versus the craft. Because one of the things that I'm fond of pointing out is if you have the right tools, but you don't quite know what you're doing, you can do only about half the job. And if you know what you're doing, but you don't have the right tools, you can only do about half the jobs. And only if you have the right tools and you have the knowledge, can you do the proper job. And I think AI might foment that discussion, but I do agree with you that AI is more of a tool than a crutch. But then again, a crutch is a tool.
It's the marriage of the two, which makes everything really work together.
Right. I think we've gone enough over, you know, the definition of that aspect, because, for example, there are companies that have already inserted ChatGPT or other generative AI solutions into their code generation software. So my last question on that aspect of, you know, tool versus crutch is what happens if you're not experienced enough to understand the code that AI is giving you?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a really great warning, essentially, to make sure that people aren't going out and expanding beyond what they can understand. So, for example, we know that ChatGPT, all of the kind of help like the co-pilots, the helpers of coding, those are going to have errors still. And you, as the engineer, really need to understand what's reality and what the language really understands. So when ChatGPT gives you code, you really need to be able to understand the mechanisms behind it in order to understand whether or not it's going to work or not. Because there's always going to be that occasion where you ask it for code and it gives you something. It thinks it's right. It really does. But you know when you start running it that it's full of errors. So then you have to go back and say, well, what really happened there? So I really think it's just understanding the expectations that engineers are still incredibly valuable to coding, to all applications, and using that as kind of a co-pilot or maybe like a really smart colleague that can help you with some of your projects, but not all of it. Everyone's still very essential in all of the applications, especially in engineering and science.
I do agree with you there. Let's be more specific then and focus on what we're doing today. What tools are available today? What can we do today? So if I knock on your door, go up to MathWorks, hey, I'm trying to get this project started. What tools do you currently offer that enable me to empower my design?
I think that's a great question because really we do go after applications for engineers. We don't just say, here are tools that you can use. The first question that we'll always ask is, well, what is your application? What are your requirements? And that's how we start almost every conversation. Now, once we understand your application, we can point you in the right direction. So we do have tools, toolboxes, capabilities within our software that helps engineers be able to very quickly get work done, especially out-of-the-box reference examples. So we know that it's not just AI, right? It's never just AI. It's AI for something. It has to be for a specific application. And so that's why we have over 100 different applications that you can run as an example and then incorporate your data into it. So really, I think it's starting from a list of pre-trained examples, pre-trained models that you can use to help understand the basic concepts of what you're trying to do so that you can understand how to incorporate it into your work.
You say that there are, you know, a large number of software solutions available. Are they grouped into families? Are there brand names or products that you wanted that you could mention, like your XYZ family does this and the like?
Oh, I'm happy to plug the Deep Learning Toolbox. That's one of the tools that my team helps to promote. Deep Learning Toolbox contains not only the ability for engineers to create their own AI models, but it also creates the ability to incorporate other models. So we know that people are using Python and PyTorch to be able to create models. And you can incorporate those into the Deep Learning Toolbox in order to create a more holistic approach to AI.
Very cool. Now, is there anything that you'd like to bring up that we haven't touched on yet?
Ooh, where to start? I think we could talk forever about what the upcoming trends of AI. I think that it's really exciting to see what's happening in terms of simulation within AI. And so the one thing that I would love to talk about is the kind of the latest and greatest trend that MathWorks sees coming for 2024 is the concept of reduced order modeling. So AI and simulation is essential in order to be able to design, test, and verify your simulations. But sometimes the simulations take a long time to run. The idea that you can actually incorporate a deep learning or machine learning model to replace one of your components within your simulation, I think is a really cool new trend. And so we call it ROM or reduced order modeling here. And we see that this can have applications a variety of different places. Our customer Mercedes-Benz actually just recently did this with some hardware sensors. They were actually able to simulate hardware sensors using deep neural networks instead of the physical system. And I think that that's just a really cool trend that engineers should be aware of in the upcoming year.
Well, you know, and I'm really glad you brought that up, Joanna, because for me, it was almost a forest and trees. Because, of course, simulation is critical, but, you know, I wasn't thinking of it as a question. I'm really glad you brought that part up, because another aspect of that is now that you've got it in the design, you could take that digital twin into the field and use it for predictive maintenance in the field and manage over-the-air updates and manage all of your quality control in the field now once you've got that digital twin established at the design level.
100%. And predictive maintenance is actually a very interesting and intriguing new application that we're seeing lots of momentum on as well. I think what you're kind of touching on too is this idea of incremental learning And I think that that's a really cool trend that's coming up in 2024 as well, is the concept of on-device learning is something that I'm really interested in hearing more about, learning more about in 2024.
I'm looking forward to it as well, because that's the other nice thing about disruptive technology changes is, for all of the disruption, you're still getting some pretty cool solutions out of it.
Absolutely. And I think that it wouldn't be around if it weren't valuable to engineers. I think everyone's very pragmatic when it comes to their work. Does this help me do my job or does this not help me do my job? And if it's not helping, I think engineers are very quick to throw it away. And so that's why I think we're really seeing this momentum build and really interesting new applications being seen within the AI space as well.
Agreed. Agreed. So do you have any final thoughts or comments or advice for our audience before I let you go?
Oh, that's a great question. I think for me, it's essentially being pragmatic when it comes to AI. Bigger isn't always better. Newer isn't always better. And I really think that the idea of deep learning and machine learning and the fundamentals of that is really where engineers can focus on and be the most value to their organization and to their work.
Well, commendable philosophy, because it's all about the solution, right? We got to put it together and give them the best tools to do it.
100%.
Thank you so much, Joanna, for taking the time to be with us. I really appreciate this, and I know our audience will get something out of it.
Great to be here. Anytime.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Inside Electronics, the podcast on the embedded engineering community. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on any episodes. Check out the next episode in 2 weeks, where our host Alex Paul will bring you the latest news, trends, and personalities from the electronic design community.